Well, you are very welcome, every one of you, in the name of the Lord. I can recognize your faces from the last time I came, quite a lot of you, and our sister there too. It has always been my great heart desire to visit Bristol regularly, but I've been caught up in all these busy schedules in Britain, as we are looking into a better Britain in the future. And because of my involvement too with various streams in our country, I'm torn apart all the time, attending various conferences and also schooling as well. But I can tell you that this weekend will mark a turnaround in our lives. Because what we're looking at tonight is operating the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's a lecture that I love so much. And I warn you this, during this period that we're talking about it, you will encounter God. You will have manifestations. And when I say manifestations, I want our heart to look straight into our Lord Jesus himself, his personal encounters and manifestations. And I will also say to you that everything I will show you will be in the scriptures. I may derogate from some norm, because there are doctrines that have been taught in the global church of God that are not really scripture. And because of that, a lot of believers see the power of God as remote, rather than they see the power of God really in them. And one of the mandates God has sent me is to help you know what is inside you, as in the power of the Most High, and also demonstrate it and show you how you can do it. There is nothing God had done through me or through any Christian leader global that he cannot do through the least believer, somebody who God saved today. And I'm going to take you through a few scriptures about this. If we look at the scriptures in the book of John first, John the book of John 14:12. Jesus says something there. It says, I read NIV, and sometime I may also read King James. I have both with me all the time. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. If anyone has faith in me, he will do what I have been doing. And then he went further to say, he will even do greater things than this, because I'm going to the Father. When I look at the scriptures in any language, I will say to you that any writings of anyone, you must first understand the language in which it's written for you to understand what that phrase is about. In this expatiation, I'm not talking about the culture of the Jews at the time it was written, but I'm talking about the mind of the writer. Every scripture I will read to you, I want to look at the mind of the writer. In this case, this is a quotation from Jesus himself. So which means that it is a reference point that all believers must stand. Jesus cannot lie, and whatever he says, that is what he means. And he says here, I tell you the truth. So this is a truth from Christ. Anything contrary to this is not a truth. But what is the truth that Jesus said here? He said, if anyone who has faith in me, if you have faith in me, anyone, not bishop, not apostle, not archbishop, not pope, not prophets, not pastor evangelist, but anyone. So which means that whatever we are or God had made us, we'll fall into the category of anyone. So there is a general consensus of God. Okay, your focal length is all right. Okay, so this is a general consensus of God. It says, anyone who has faith in me. So the first thing is, how do we have faith in Jesus? But the fact is, if we do have faith in Jesus, then what Jesus is about to say must happen to us. That is evidence that you have faith in Jesus. It's a thing to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's another thing to say you will follow in him. But it's another thing to have faith in him. When I was looking into the Bible, and look also into, you know, English dictionaries and various dictionaries academically to understand the word faith, as in this application, I found out that faith can simply be expressed as trust and confidence. That's what faith is. Of course, this context is different from using the word faith as in religion, because that's a synonym. But in this application, Jesus is talking about, if you trust me and have confidence in me. So now, all what I'll take you through, you begin to check your trust and confidence in the Lord. Because you will manifest over this week. I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
Good. So, Jesus said, anyone who has faith in me will do all I have been doing. He didn't say he will do something that I've been doing. He says, you will do what I have been doing. And then it says, greater works shall you do. Now, when I was a Baptist pastor in 1985, 86, some of my colleagues in Baptist always said to me that, look, you know, this work that Jesus said is not talking about miracles that Jesus did. And they have this notion that, oh, you cannot outshine Jesus. Jesus doesn't care about all this. Jesus really wants you to outshine him. Because we don't do anything. But Jesus in us does everything he does. So the issue of outshining Jesus or not outshining Jesus is relevant in this matter. Jesus was in the world. He went about, healed the sick. He cast out devils. He preached the kingdom of God. And then he called us and said, do the same thing. Do the same thing. If I may give you evidence of that statement, that what exactly did Jesus really tell us to do? What are the things that Jesus did that Jesus said we can do? The book of Matthew tells us in chapter 28, we call it the Great Commission. In chapter 28, it says in verse 18, and then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Therefore, go. All right? And make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all I have taught you. Or I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of age. So if you look at the instruction of Jesus here, Jesus said, you go and do the same thing. Preach the kingdom. Preach the kingdom. Get people converted, inform them so that Holy Ghost can finish the job. Tell them about who I am, Jesus said. Tell them the cost I paid for their salvation. Tell them that salvation is waiting for them even when they were not born. He died before we were conceived. So it is a price paid by Jesus himself for our redemption. Let people know that. What a good news that is. But you see, having Jesus said that, if you look at the book of Mark, chapter 16, all right, from verse 17. So Jesus said in that Matthew, go tell them about the kingdom. Tell them about the power of the kingdom. Tell them about salvation. Tell them. You know, some people, when you meet them on the streets or in the office area, or our offices, and we talk about Jesus, they'll say, no, I don't want to hear. I had enough of that. Do you know why they do that? There is a sect. Who are the Jehovah's Witnesses? These people have knocked almost every door in England. All right? And they never stop knocking doors, but they have no salvation message. And people are fed up. If you tell me that, so Jesus is something I should accept, tell me what is the difference between Jesus and Muhammad. Tell me the difference between Jesus and Buddha. Tell me, why should I not be a witch? Why shouldn't I join Satanic Club or Mason or anything? What is unique about Jesus? And let me see it. That's what people are looking for. They are not looking for someone they will accept now, only to get reward after death. No, what will he do? If I accept Jesus now, what can he do for me now? And you know, Christians have been so backward in this, that the Jehovah's Witnesses have knocked doors and people are fed up of just talk. And that's the reason why this area we're looking into for this weekend is very, very, very vital. And we'll look at from first principle, you must operate the power of God. So what can be the difference in you going to the doors of people? First of all, the true knowledge of Jesus and the full knowledge of the Word of God. Real bringing salvation message, which is life. Helping people to know that their sins have been atoned for by somebody who is Jesus. Letting them know how much love Jesus has for them. Before we even conceived, he had done this for us. Letting them understand that Jesus is the only person who does not force his will on people. He stands at the door. It can cost him 50 years before you say yes, and he's not going to be fed up of you. He's the only one who really cares, truly cares. And it is in Jesus, only in Jesus, can you find joy. It doesn't come from anywhere. It's only in Jesus you can find fulfillment. It's only Jesus who will go to a prostitute and never talk about prostitution, but tell you about a better life you can have. He does not judge anybody. He does not condemn anybody. He says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish. That's the reason why he came for humanity. And this is what Jesus sent us to do. Now, let me say this to you. If we derogate from that, the power and the promise will not manifest. Why did I say that? Let me show you in the scriptures. So in this Mark, it says, and these signs will follow accompany those who believe in me. In my name, they will drive out demons. So everybody who have trust and confidence in Jesus can cast out devils. Some may call that deliverance. I don't. I call it casting out devils. That's what the Bible calls it. You know why I am different from all these normies? This. I've been to various places in the world to preach the gospel. You know, I've been to, well, let me start from England, just briefly. I've taught the southwest coastline from London. God cannot locate you at Bristol if you are not a watchman over Bristol and Wales. Out of Bristol Church, messengers shall go to Wales and get the Wales back revived in the demonstration of power of the kingdom. Listen to me. The Bible says that can happen only when we discover ourselves in the world. Not reading the Bible for them, but reading the Bible for me. I say this all the time. The only reason why I'm alive and Jesus didn't kill me when I got saved is for the revival of United Kingdom. We will take the gospel to Inverness. We will take the gospel to Northern Ireland and sweep over the whole of Ireland Republic. We will take the gospel to whole of Wales. I've been in Wales before. I was in Holyhead. It was in Holyhead. A woman was healed who was born without womb. She's a Welsh lady. I went to preach in Holyhead, and God said to me by word of knowledge that there's somebody here who is barren. And the pastor said, no one is barren in my church. And I closed my Bible and said, come on the next train, let me go to England. Let me go back to London. And he said, what are you talking about? I said, well, if God gave a word of knowledge and you say it's not here, I'm so sorry. I can't preach here. I'm going. And I was serious. Because what else will I say that God says that you believe? And then somebody came and said, his sister, what's the name of the sister again? Is it Miriam? Yeah. He said, she was born without womb. And I said, what do you call that? Frufu? He said, but she's registered handicapped. She doesn't have womb since she was born. And if you look at her, her breast was so flat like man's chest. I said, okay. So now, can a woman who does not have womb give birth? They said no. So what do you call that? That's barren. Bring her up. And they brought her up. And all the leaders stood behind her. That was in John Master's church, Ellen Pentecostal in Holyhead. And I laid my hand, she's still there till today. I laid my hands on her and commanded, womb in the name of Jesus appear. And the power of God struck her. Let me tell you something. She went to the doctors the following week. And the doctor said, what happened to you? We have your record since birth. 2 weeks ago, you came here for your exam, the gynae. He said, you have a womb ready for conception. You were born without a womb. This is England. Wales. These Wales. I will lead you there. I said, I will lead you guys there. Oh, yeah. Let me say something to you. She got married to the junior brother of the pastor. Within 1 month, her feminine feature began to build up. She was just like a man. Okay? And then she began to build up her breasts, her bums, back, hips, and she looked like a woman. And the brother of the pastor soon recognized that this is my wife. I didn't know her all these years. We've been together. And they came to London, having wedded with a baby, to come and give testimonies a few years after. You know? So, I'm not talking about what is written that has not happened to us. This is your church. If the Bible says something, that's it. You know, a person who is sick needs faith to receive healing. But it depends on the person who wants to minister the healing. So you must say things that will stir up faith in the faithless and bring hope to the hopeless so that the hopeless is looking up to receive something. And then Jesus can step in. Faith connects faith and miracles will happen. This is as simple as that. It's so simple, let me tell you. But it begins from the fact that you must believe that you are the recipient of this. Don't look at apostle or pope or archbishop. You know, God didn't use me in this dimension because I'm an apostle. No. It's because I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. If you look at that scripture back, let me finish it now. He says, today the scripture is fulfilled, and everybody hated him, and they were saying all manners of stuff. Hallelujah. But then he went further in verse 31 of the same scripture. He says, then Jesus went down to Capernaum. When we went to Israel, we were told that it's not Capernaum. We call it Capernaum. The Jew man said, it's Capernaum. So I call it Capernaum from that time. We were in Capernaum. You know, we both went there and took photographs in Capernaum. This very synagogue, we went to that spot when we visited Israel. And he said he went to Capernaum on the Sabbath and began to teach the people. All right, the word of God. They were amazed at his teaching because his message had what? Authority. And tomorrow we are talking about authority. Your authority, the authority in your lips. That's what I'm going to explore tomorrow. You carry so much authority on your lips. And believers need to recognize that you must speak out and use the authority to change circumstances that Satan established. When you see the devil, someone went around in the city and stabbed somebody. It's time for us to revoke that by the spirit that caused all those stabbing people. And pray that that guy who stabbed them should be born again. And go and look for him, if we can find him. And tell him about Jesus. Am I talking to you? Not just condemn the boy, the poor boy is just possessed by the devil. He needs Jesus. If Jesus enters into him, he will never stab a man. He would be able to slap a man. And so, unfortunately, many of us who are Christians, when you see the devil manifest, you blame the man because the devil used the man. Rather than we use our authority. Tomorrow I'll talk about your authority. How you can change your world with your authority by your lips. I've been teaching about it for some time now. Come on, let's go on this and finish this. So, they were amazed at his teaching, verse 32, because his message had authority. Authority, power to convince somebody, power to convict somebody. He carries authority. He wasn't talking theology here. He's talking about God here. You know, not just eloquence, but the wisdom of God that comes from heaven. And then he says, in the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an evil spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, what do we have to do with you, Jesus Christ of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us before our time? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And look at deliverance. What did he say in verse 35? We'll read verse 35 together. Verse 35. Shall we? Be quiet. Jesus said, Excuse me, Jesus never said, come out, please. Could we have a little quiet, please? Excuse me. Someone is possessed by the devil. Jesus wasn't talking to that man, of course, he was talking to the spirit in him. He said, shut up! Come out of him instantly. And the Bible says, instant. So where do we see deliverance of praying for people for hours, for days? Something is wrong with those who do that. You know what is wrong with them? Lack of faith. Lack of faith. Because in my name, Jesus said, if you have faith in me. In closing, let me give you a scenario so that it can relate with you and I. After Jesus spoke to them and these people saw Jesus did all the miracles and stuff, after Jesus resurrected, look at the book of Acts chapter 3. Peter was going to the temple. Now, Peter is like yourself and myself. It says, one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. A man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate, which was called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money, penny for the guy. Okay? Peter looked straight at him. Watch this. As did John. Then Peter said, look at us. You know, I said to you, for you to see miracle happen, you must have faith. And you must speak something that must stir up the faith of the one who receives it. He says, look at us. And the Bible says, so the man gave them his attention. He gazed at them, expecting to get something. You know, a beggar is asking for money. And say, look at us. You can't say that and you give him nothing. I haven't said that. Because the guy now put all his hope on today. Thank God I will get something. Okay? But look at what happened. Then Peter said, verse 6, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, do what? Work! So what happened? Taking him by the right hand, helped him up, and instantly, the man's feet and ankle became strong. You got to do that. You know, easy way to get that done? Don't magnify what you see, but magnify that one whom you know. Because our time is gone today, I want to close within 5 minutes, and I mean that. I was in a crusade when God told me that he would heal a crippled girl. Two hands went up. I said, Lord, what is this? And the Lord said, he said, I will heal a crippled child. Two hands went up. I said, what? The Lord said, the girl. And I said, the one who brought the girl. And the other hand went down. When they brought, I said, bring that girl. Because it's a massive crusade. So many people. From the back, bring that girl. When they brought the girl out, humanly, it is impossible for that girl to be healed. Do you know why? This leg is normal, the right one. But the left leg was shot up to here because it's been crippled by polio from birth. So when polio cripples a leg, the leg is dried, the tie, and the leg where you have the leg reinforced is by a quarter. So, and it was dangling like this, lifeless. They pulled the girl down. No. So that's another one, sorry. That's another one. This one, it is from here, everything gone. And when they put the girl down, the leg just twisted like that. Mumbo jumbo. So if it was you, what would you do? You know, there are some people who are paralyzed, but they still have normal leg, but they can't walk. And you and I can easily just say, well, you're going to walk now because you can't see anything. It's a Father, in the name of Jesus, nothing to challenge your faith. But when they brought in a lifeless leg, short and dead, excuse me, that is where you understand what faith is. Because faith does not magnify what you see, but that which lives in you, who is Christ himself, who can deliver what he had promised. That is faith in the Lord. I told them, put that child there. And I kept on preaching. And when I moved away from the child, you know, when I preach, I walk. They look at me. When I go towards the child, they look at the child. People expect that I would command that girl when I go to the girl. And I was preaching about Jesus. You know, when we preach about Jesus, nothing matters. I will not entertain anyone to come and disturb where I'm preaching about Jesus. If the policeman comes into you and I'm preaching about Jesus, I will tell him to stop. And I'll finish my preaching before you can do anything you want to come and do. Because you are talking about the Supreme One. It has happened to me before in Russia. Preaching, and the time that the iron curtain was still on, we people smuggled themselves to Russia. Went through the airport. And ministers from the U.S. and myself from England and some of us, I'm the one preaching. And the police came to arrest everybody. But the police eventually said they did not see me. I said, God save you that you didn't see me. I would have commanded one policeman to be still. You know, when we preach Jesus, he's the supreme. And so suddenly, as I was moving away, the unction of God came upon me, and I turned to the guy and said, rise up in the name of Jesus. And she bounced. Rise up in the name of Jesus. Everybody stood up. The third time, the power of God, without anyone touching her, picked her up, raised her up, the legs grew and expanded. I tell people were weeping. They were weeping. The rest of the story, I'll tell you tomorrow. Don't miss it. When you are coming tomorrow, invite your friends. Jesus can do what he said he will do. Listen to me. When Peter healed this man, everybody was excited. Everybody was looking at Peter as a superman. Excuse me. When God uses us to heal somebody, we have no part in it than to just speak. If we know how to heal people, we will go all your general hospital, we just go there and be slapping all the sick people. Get out. We heal them. But we don't heal anybody. But Jesus does when we reveal him. And Peter said in that verse 16, you know, he said, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and now was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has made this complete healing to him, as you all can see. We're going to pray. Faith in the name of Jesus. How many of you have heard about Wigglesworth before? You haven't heard about Wigglesworth in England? Wigglesworth was from Bradford. Really, I've asked they should go and get the house of Wigglesworth in Bradford. I wanted us to buy it. I won't tell anyone that because some people are going about buying every spot where God used people. Wigglesworth was a Scottish man, a plumber, that God used in this country around 1906 forward in great manifestation of miracles. Wigglesworth brought United Kingdom to their knees as a single man. He was called in his old age, in his 70s. But then what God did through him till his 80s, the ripple effect is still on. People came from the United States. People like Lester Sumrall, one of the, you know, men used mightily. Of course, some of you know Oral Roberts. You must have heard of Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts them and stuff. The revival of Wigglesworth is what stirred up faith in them. He was a man, they call him, he was a sturdy man, very tall and huge. And when he commands the devil, he commands him as huge as he is. Who's up? Come out. That's what he does. And he met someone with cancer in the hospital, and he said, where is it? And who's up? He said, cancer. I said, where is it? They said, and he pointed the stomach. Bah, 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 bah. And the doctor said, you kill him. And he walked away. He prays in tongues. And the sick man jumped up. And cancer vanished. God used him to do so many miracles. So if God can use Peter, he can use me. What about you? What about you? I say God can use you. So understand this. I have established with you that it's not because of our calling that God uses us, but because we are born again. Because we have asked Jesus to come into our heart. There is a place for the calling. Tomorrow when I talk, I'll talk about that. But tonight, what we are talking about is you can encounter God. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and power. And he went about doing good. And you can read that scripture and say how God anointed Alfred with Holy Spirit and power. You can say how God anointed Mary. Call your name, how God anointed me with Holy Ghost and power, and I went about. Britain will come to their knees before Jesus Christ. Let's stand up together. Lift up your voice and begin to thank God for the gift of the Holy Spirit which you have received. Thank God for the anointing of God upon you. Begin to say, thank you, Lord. I want you to pray out. Say it loud. Say it out. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit upon me. How God anointed me, mention your name, with Holy Spirit and with power. I went about doing good. Oh Lord, the time has come for the manifestation of your glorious power. Give God the praise. Give him the praise. Give God the praise. Thank God for his power. Thank God for his goodness. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for his glory. Thank God for salvation in Jesus. Thank God for your life. Je sais prakobao deski malorinda. Jangre so malekre tu so paladi. Rike poton se ke maron. De brand emotion talada. Mais la couvriando se clé du brand de sa. Yakata gabo. Babo si pre crendo ne nomando. Me breludo se ke le di brande. Mesco paralido. Me kaki ala rabonde de si grata di. Thank you for your presence, oh God, in this place. Thank you for your presence, oh God, in this place. Thank you for healing. Thank you for power. Thank you for the miraculous. Mashkata ropo korodende. Zingrento malegroto brate brento di. Pastor hearing, you are healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Maso trobon. Me prakre le dindra sikto lom de si. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank God for power of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Begin to tell the Lord, walk through me, Lord Jesus. Walk through me, Lord Jesus. Walk through me, Lord Jesus. Walk through me. There are many people hurting in our city. Many people are hurting in our city. There are many people who don't know the Lord in this city. Lord, use me for them. Tell the Lord to use you. So many are oppressed by the devil. Tell the Lord to use you to bring forth healing to every house, to bring deliverance to those who have been bound by Satan. Tell the Lord, use me to change Bristol. Use me to transform Bristol. Use me to shine the light of God in Bristol. That Jesus be exalted in the midst of Bristol. Ye para tumbo ye akatali. Tell the Lord, I believe in you. I believe in you. I believe in your name. I believe in your name. Oh Lord God, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Maro so krapa garade solo dis karada. Tell the Lord, tell the Lord, tell the Lord. Riparo de so coria manta le brondo sigria ba. Gendo so cariande sopra le grandes e dis karada. Father, we exalt you. Magnify the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ye Lord. Mero so pra grande le diado. Blessed be your holy name, O God. Blessed be your holy name, O God. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Father. Lord, I pray for this, your sins. Everything that contend with your faith, I rebuke in the name of Jesus. The spirit of boldness, receive in the name of Jesus. Every form of fear, I cast out in the name of Jesus. The spirit of faith, receive in the name of Jesus. Amen. Word of knowledge to understand things that are hidden and mystery, receive in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, let your fire come, fall upon every tongue in Jesus' name. Use these ones to light your fire in the whole of Bristol. Spreading into Wales in the name of Jesus. Bringing the good tidings of the love of Christ to this city and to all the surrounding neighbors. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Breathe your breath anew upon us. And bless this restaurant. Let your presence remain here. Let your prosperity remain here. Because they have given us this place to minister your word. I leave the residue of your power among them. Amen. We pray for them, Lord. Amen. You will stretch your hand of mercy upon these people. Amen. Bristol will be saved. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All mortal men in Bristol will confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Amen. There shall be peace Amen. Upon the people of Bristol. Amen. There shall be prosperity Amen. In this land. In Jesus' anointed name we are praying. Say amen. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Thank you so much. God bless you.